Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
All right, Andy and I are back now. And Andy, I'm glad that we took a few days after that match against Milan to at least gather some thoughts, because that was terrible. That was dreadful. There was nothing positive that you could take away from that. From the manager, the players, I thought it was all wrong. Completely wrong. How disappointed were you with that?
Well, remember last time I told you that I had no expectations going into this game against Milan, meaning I had no positive expectations. So I got what I expected. It's the truth, John, because we sat here and talked about for half an hour about how, you know, we got back into the game against Sampdoria. I never thought that we got back into that game. Fonseca was pointing out alluding to the character that it took for the determination on the players' part to get back into that match against Sampdoria, and this whole narrative of Roma as underdogs coming back and beating Sampdoria in their own house. And I never saw that. I saw, you know, Pellegrini launch it once, and luckily there was some brilliance on Dzeko's part, and then Cristante launching it for the second time, and again brilliance by Dzeko. But it was never a matter of determination. Players never really looked hungry enough. They took it for granted, just as they took for granted this game. And, you know, I'm not taking Petrachi's side, but I remember that he talked about...
I'm glad he brought it up.
Well, it's, you know, it's inevitable when you hear something, and I usually don't pay much attention to, you know, what a sporting director says about the training session, but Petrachi is out of the club, right? Or almost. So what he said, you know, that the players didn't seem too engaged in the trainings, well, that's... We can see that now. And if it was up to us, the fans, to play after 3 months of lockdown, then we'd probably give our all. And that's not what the players did. Not at all. It was horrible. It was slow. It was predictable. Totally expected. And it just, a continuation of this Roma trend of really not taking games seriously. Which is, you know, if you look at their pedigree and their roster, the trophies, whatever, it's that is the most unexplainable thing. Why a team like Roma never really cared to play with effort?
Yeah, first off, the hilarious part. I saw some people saying in the second half, Milan, they dominated, they did really well. Let's just stop this. Okay, both teams were terrible. One of them scored. Because Amadou Diawara, for the second match in a row, doing something inexplicable that you really is out of character for him. We call him the professor. Some people call him the professor. And this guy, two matches in a row, gifting goals. Again, inexplicable. Brian Cristante on the goal. If there's video of this guy fighting off two would-be robbers... I'm going to need to see that, because I refuse to believe that this character has the physical capabilities to fight off not even one, but two. I don't know if anybody
actual
saw
human
him on...
beings, actual human beings, right. not actual turtles.
I mean, I watched him on that goal, and I'm just, he looks like an awkward teenager running about the pitch, like a 15-year-old. Who is still growing into their body and they don't know how to run. Like somebody tweeted out, I forget who it was, tweeted out a video of Donald Trump's son. And he's
Baron.
Like 6 feet. He's like 6 feet, six inches tall.
Yes.
The poor kid can barely move, but he, you know, awkward. I don't want to get into politics here, but he runs very goofy. He looks very awkward.
Yeah, and if you think about it, the names Brian and Baron are not that different.
Well, I just need somebody to show me the video because I refuse to believe that there is no video, given where we are nowadays, of him doing this. I need to see it because I don't believe it. This guy runs like an absolute just, I mean, passive. He moves about passive. The pitch.
Yeah.
Passive. He does stupid things. Okay, so I was talking to somebody at Roma last week, and it was like a 40-minute conversation, and they went in on how all the things that Monchi did was wrong. And I agreed with him on most of the things. We disagreed on some minor things. But one of the things that he was saying was it wasn't even the players that Monchi brought in. It was the contracts that he handed out. Do I need to remind people that Brian Cristante, his contract was renewed not so long ago? I mean, at least with Pastore, we can all agree that it was a disaster. There's some light at the end of the tunnel. He's being linked with moves away. With Cristante, I am dumbfounded at what this guy brings, because usually a player excels in one area of the pitch. You know, work rate is good, but they're bad technically. Pass the ball well, but they can't shoot the ball on goal. What can Cristante do? Because I couldn't tell you one thing that he's good at.
But, you know, this is a weird bubble that we're living in, because Cristante has still the same. If you ask around, and if you look at, for example, the how Mancini rates him from the national team, they still rate him. He still has the reputation of the Cristante that we saw at Atalanta, which, you know, you talk about, you know, being passive. That's not what you are at Atalanta. And in fact, Cristante was one of the most dynamic players that year, where he scored, I think, like 9 goals and was really yes. something to behold.
Yes.
And then I remember when Di Francesco introduced him into a game, and he looked completely lost from the get-go, and it really never... We never got to see what he was actually good at, because he always seemed like he was out of position, which is ridiculous, because a player, you know, come on. Okay, I can give you a year of time to sort of find the right rhythm, the right position, whatever you like, learn the new tricks, skills, whatever. But after a year, come on, you got to show me something. And I always thought that Cristante, you know, was going to get to it. But now we're looking at a player who not only doesn't impact the team positively, he's looking like just like a weak spot. And that was exactly what he was against Milan. The way he ran after the ball in that goal was like he never really cared about it. And that's probably the most defeating aspect of this game, is that we saw so many players not only playing awful, but just playing like they couldn't care less.
That was probably the most eye-opening part of it. I mean, okay, some things obviously didn't come off. It is what it is, but the lack of will, I thought, was the most disturbing thing in that entire match.
And you know, we can talk about, you know, Diawara making mistakes and Zappacosta making mistakes. Obviously, these guys have had injuries all year round, especially Zappacosta, first start of the game. So obviously, he's not gonna be, you know, the fastest, the sharpest player on the pitch. But if we have to make a list of all the performances that we've seen in that game, I think not one of them goes above 3.
Oh, it was bad. And I don't want... So we're obviously criticizing the players here. I thought Fonseca was dreadful. And somebody tweeted out... Again, I apologize who this was. Somebody tweeted out his record average points per match compared to DiFrancesco. And I'm not saying that this guy is a bad manager, because I think he's working with a pretty stacked deck with some of the things going against him. Obviously, with the club being for sale, it's a very awkward moment. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. However, I thought the changes he made were wrong. I thought too much turnover was wrong. If somebody can explain to me how Davide Zappacosta starts his first match of the season, A, and B, how he lasts 90 minutes, I am all ears, because I don't know how anybody can justify that. Now, again, Zappacosta, he makes a clear mistake on the goal. It is what it is. Mistakes happen. They seem to happen more to Roma players and more so than the rest, but so be it. I just don't understand what Fonseca is doing. I didn't like his lineup from the match against Sampdoria. In this one, I thought his substitutions were all wrong. And I don't like him after the match saying, oh, well, we did good in the first half, but then we gave it away in the second. It's like, well, you weren't really good in the first. Okay, so, you know, what am I seeing, or what is he seeing that we're not? Because I want him to be more negative. Realistic. I just don't get it, because there are zero positives to take from that match. And I think even though they won against Sampdoria, there are not very many positives to take from that one either.
Yeah. And I've been thinking about this whole manager situation, because, as you know, it's obviously Fonseca, you know, is at fault here. I thought the choices he made and the starting lineup were really questionable. Like, why would you, you know, I understand we're playing every 3 days, but why would you just flip the team around and start playing around with players that, come on, after one game they're gonna die? The fact that he took off Dzeko so early on shows you that this team, when Dzeko is not going, when Dzeko is not out,
they're unwatchable.
They don't have a system, or at least they don't have a reference point which allows them, as soon as Dzeko leaves the pitch, the team completely sits back and absorbs all the impact from the opposing side. And they never dare to attack afterwards. They never have somebody that you can say, okay, we're going to throw him out there and he's still going to lead the attack. No, it's as soon as Dzeko's off, game over. This team is put... Why do you say that Roma players seem to be more prone to making mistakes? Because they always put themselves in situations where they make mistakes. If you take the Diawara's goal from last week, totally avoidable, one of the stupidest passes you can possibly make, and yet you make it, because Roma are very don't seem to have any really idea or purpose on the pitch. And you know, I don't know what they do on training. Maybe Fonseca is, you know, has accepted the fact that half of the team is already thinking of vacation and the transfer market. We know that players like Under, Kluivert, and et cetera, are already being looked at as potential sales. So it's never easy, but whatever. You have Smalling, Mkhitaryan, who don't really know if they're going to play the Europa League. That's also, you know, maybe a problem, but it's the most probably frustrating thing about it is this is not the first time we see it. We saw that under Di Francesco, who had, remember when he would, after every shit show, he would go on and start talking gibberish about a game that we clearly did not see. And, you know, I don't want to make these comparisons, but Fonseca, with this excuse of, you know, oh, Milan played three games and we played only two, and this and that, and it's always something. And I'm really getting tired of it. I don't necessarily think it's Fonseca's fault. I think Fonseca is, you know, a pawn in the grand scheme of things. And the problem is that Roma have had a history of not giving the coaches what they want, or at least having this system in place where each coach that comes after the other one inherits a team that really does not fit anything. And I don't want to say that Fonseca is this mastermind of football, or even Di Francesco, but both of them find themselves in a position where they inherit a team that is really not that good. A team where players like Pastore or Cristante must be used because they were paid for with a lot of money. And then you get this. You get a team that really has no backbone, no idea of what they're doing out there, and the results are out there. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Napoli, with Gattuso, who's clearly having an impact psychologically, I don't think, you know, tactically, but at least psychologically he got to the players. I don't, you know, getting Europa League is still not a granted thing, and it wouldn't surprise me if we lost this spot as well.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised either. In fact, I'd be more surprised at this point if Roma held on to it. I do agree with you in the sense that I do think Fonseca is a victim of circumstance with what is happening right now. I do feel bad for him to an extent, although I do think there are some things that could be avoided. Again, we talked last time about players who are on this roster that just seem redundant. And it is depressing when you watch matches like this. I don't know about you, but in terms of like building blocks for the next 2-3 years, I see maybe two players that you can really build off, Zaniolo and Mancini. Yeah. I don't know. And it's even more depressing that we have to go through this 10-match death march for the next month. I'm not saying that just because they lost, this is why we're feeling this way. I just cannot believe that people wanted this. Like, this has been terrible, yeah, these first two matches. And Champions League through the league is gone now. Just give that up. They're not happening.
Not happening.
Atalanta, that, gone, okay? Now, everybody's saying, okay, well now you have 10 warm-up matches or 10 friendlies, I guess, for the Europa League. You really think that this team can make, not even get past Sevilla, but a Europa League final? Maybe that's how the players are thinking. Because again, this match against Sevilla, it's a one-match playoff. And then from there, you're going to be playing in neutral grounds more than likely. I mean, if you believe after watching these first two matches that Roma can make it to the Europa League, good on you. You're infinitely more optimistic and positive than Andy and myself are. I just don't see it, man. I really don't. And I can't believe that people are taking the stance of, well, now Roma have 10 dress rehearsals until the Europa League begins. I just don't buy it.
Well, if it is the case that the players are playing the way they are playing because, you know, in their minds they're thinking, okay, we'll win the 4 games in the Europa League and get what we wanted, then fuck them. Like, how dare you to even, you're getting paid millions. There are players in this club that are getting paid 4.5, 2.8, 3.5, whatever, and play like they belong in the second division in the Ukrainian league. This is what pisses me off, is because why do people enjoy so much watching teams like Atalanta or, you know, even Sassuolo with De Zerbi there? Because players there are getting paid squat and are playing really attractive football, getting results that have a semblance of a team. Roma don't have that. And if you can't focus on playing against Sampdoria that were decimated by the coronavirus, by injuries, you don't have Quagliarella, you don't have a lot of important players, and you play the way they did, then that is inexcusable. And it's most worrying is that we are playing exactly like the way we came out here now a few months ago. This is not, you know, just a hangover. This is the continuation of a Roma team that we've seen for many, many years. I still think that this is the Roma team that we've seen after Spalletti left. A team that really has no strong points. They don't have, you know, we can rely on this player, on that player, on that player, and when this player is not here, we can move like this, and when this player is on the pitch, we can move like that. Roma don't have that. Roma under Spalletti was probably the last team that I remember that you took out Dzeko, you could rely on Salah, and maybe you could play with Perotti as a false nine, and you still maintained a certain shape, a certain form, a certain rhythm of a tempo of play. And after Spalletti, I really don't see a team that has any coherent idea of what they're doing. And that's probably most disappointing. And, you know, I know I can't expect much from, you know, players like Zappacosta. Zappacosta is on loan. Zappacosta was never a superstar. That's not the problem. The problem is the players that make the real money and have zero impact or perhaps even more negative one.
Yeah, it's such a weird time. And Friedkin, in my opinion, more and more distant. I'm not optimistic whatsoever. I don't think that'll close. I'd put it at 10 to 15% at this moment. It's very difficult to find or pick out any sort of positivity at the moment. And again, I just don't see how anybody could think that this team, four matches, that they can do it to a Europa League final. I just don't see it. Under the Napoli, or that's the way it's looking. Mm-hmm. What do you think? I thought you tweeted out a pretty succinct summary about it. Yeah. I think he's just one of those guys that has to leave. End of the road is here, right?
Yeah. You know, I loved Under in his first year. Second year injuries. We thought he'd come back from it. Hasn't come back from it. Potential is still there. I'm not saying anything. I think he is a player that can really be something special. But like most others, his time at Roma is over, and it should be. And the guy has no impact whatsoever on the team. Sometimes he's invisible when he's used as a substitute. We barely see him touch the ball. Yes, once or twice he'll score a banger, but if we're talking about his growth and the club's growth, the roads should part, and this is a good moment. I think he can do well at Napoli. I wouldn't actually mind seeing him in a rival team, and off you go. It's nothing. It's not painful. No, nothing. Never thought he'd be a part of our future. So I'm pretty indifferent, to be honest.
that's pretty much exactly how I feel now. If you had asked me after the 2017-2018 season, we surely would have been devastated. It would have been like, okay, here goes the next big thing. Cavani, can you please just throw cold water on this, because I'm tired of talking
why
about it.
Why is that guy talking about it? Like, why is it? Whose agent is talking to that journalist and pushing Cavani?
That is the most obvious planted agent story of all time. You don't have to be an accountant to realize that this guy was earning over 10 million euros. You think he's going to come to Roma, where he would make less than half of that. I mean, we're probably talking it would require 60 to 80% decrease in wages.
And this is it's very smart, because the two teams that they say in that article is Inter and Roma. Inter because they may be looking at selling Lautaro, and Roma because the situation with Dzeko is unclear. So good on whoever's agent said that, but I don't. It's never happening. This is, I wouldn't even want it to happen. Just because I'm tired of making these deals for these big name players and then, you know, getting what we're getting.
That come to Roma for a last final payday, right?
Exactly. That's the feeling. I'm really tired of it, because I think that's a contributing factor to what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm tired of it. I'm not saying that that's what Kolarov has done, but I mean, that poor guy looks finished.
Yeah. It's tiring to see the same old, and probably the most frustrating thing about it is, John, is exactly when you asked me about Under, I said indifference, and you agreed, because this is the worst feeling ever when you're a fan of a team, when you look at a list of names and you're indifferent to about 98% of them, maybe excluding Zaniolo, Mancini, somebody else. I really don't know, but it just, when you see that the players on the pitch really aren't up to it, and they don't play with heart, and I don't rate them, and it's come to a point where almost the whole team is filled with these players, and it's going to take a lot more than just, you know, one summer revolution. As you said, there are not many positives there because we really don't know where Roma is going forward. There is not much future under Palotta. There is not much future with these current players. I don't know, but we sound pretty tragic, but the light at the end of the tunnel is really, really far away in this case.
Oh, I agree. And our good friend Alstini, he went on the radio today. He said that Roma, there have been conversations with two potential American owners. I don't know who they are. And they can't be that far because Friedkin, they have an exclusive negotiation period with Roma. If Roma were to enter into negotiations with anybody else, they would have to inform Friedkin. They would have to obviously make an announcement for the stock market requirements. I just don't know.
It's not Jeff Bezos.
No, please. Oh my God. Please stop that. Please stop with Cavani. Please stop with Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos has plenty of headaches in his life right now. I can't imagine that he would be that much. Now, again, this
maybe his wife. Maybe his wife. Still.
Well, you know, this guy has enough money. You know, every time he goes to the restroom, he can just, you know, wipe his backside with $100 with, you know, 100 euros. So, okay. But Jeff Bezos is not coming to Roma. So please stop that. Man, this is depressing. I can't believe people wanted this back. This just seems so depressing to have to subject ourselves to this twice a week. It's okay.
And then you see the display, you know, the refereeing displays and the.
I don't even want to talk about that.
No, it's not. There's not no point in talking about it. Probably the only thing is that enjoy watching the teams that are hungrier than Roma. So enjoy teams that actually play football, because if you're going to follow only Roma, then you might as well stop for the next month or so. Just quit football. Don't ignore everything. And this is not going to end up well. And, you know, as I said, Milan are there, Napoli are there right behind us. So it's, not looking good.
Yeah. And then I understand some people, they get excited and they find a bit of hope with the transfer market. And then yesterday I get the notification that Juve, they sell some nobody midfielder who's played 14 minutes. He's 22 years old. They sell him for like 7 million euros to Atalanta. Pjanic somehow turns into 60 million euros.
Fucking hell, man. Wait, how? Like
this fake plus Valenza thing, man. It is going to kill me. I can't do it. I asked somebody at Roma on the sporting side. I'm just like, what do you guys think about this? Because this is getting to the point where it's just stupid. Like, really? Juve are selling a guy who has played 10 minutes of football. He's 22. They're selling him to Atalanta for 7 million euros. I just refuse to believe that any of this stuff is real. They know it's not real. We all know that this is for fake accounting purposes. I just don't want to get into this because
And then the outcome is Spinazzola playing on the left the way he played against Milan. That's the outcome of fake plus Valenzas.
How is it that Roma have 10 fullbacks in the roster? Not one of them is even like remotely capable of being a complete player.
Yeah.
It's astounding.
And you know, just to briefly come back to this part of it, is that I talked about this in our Patreon group chat, is that we had these reference points with Spalletti. I keep going back to Spalletti because that's the last season where we saw a semblance of play. We got the record of points, which led nowhere, but still. You had a team that had really a lot of reference points. You had one of the best goalkeepers in the league in Szczesny in that particular year. You had Emerson, who was one of the best fullbacks in the league in that year. You had Nainggolan, who was one of the best midfielders in the world. You had Dzeko, who was having a career year after a disappointing one. You had Salah, easily one of the best wingers in the game. You had reference points. I'm not saying that we had world-class players, but we had players that knew what their job was, knew how to contribute to the team to the maximum degree. You had Nainggolan, who was being utilized as a number 10 almost. You had Salah, who was getting applauded by Spalletti in a conference dedicated just to his work rate. You had Emerson, who was basically playing as a winger and assisting and scoring bangers, whose defensive contributions are dearly missed. You had goalkeepers year after year, and Alisson and Szczesny, who were really good together. Now, years and years go forward, and we never find that. We never find these reference points. It's not because we keep selling them. It's because we can't seem to buy the right ones. And that's the thing, is that we sell Strootman, we say Nainggolan, fine, but we never find the right replacements. And I don't think that it's more visible than it's been more visible than it is now, that this is a team that lacks a soul, that lacks an idea, that lacks spirit, because you just have players that you can't really rely on.
I know. And we don't mean to come on here and depress everybody. It's just one of those moments where it's difficult to see the light. If we want to look for positives, the positives are, the financial situation is so bad that Palotta knows he has to sell. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Palotta is going to sell. All we have to do is sit here and wait. And I know our nature, particularly as Roma supporters, is being patient seems damn near impossible. But if you're looking for a positive in all of this, that is a positive. Now, again, Friedkin, They met over the weekend, the two the lawyers for each of them. No significant progress at all. Again, I don't think Friedkin will be the new owners of Roma at this very moment. However, very fluid, could change tomorrow if Palotta decides to say, you know what, screw it, I'm just going to walk away and accept the loss. I don't think that could happen, but who knows? But I think right now that's really all we have to hang on to, unfortunately, is knowing that at some point within the next 6 to 8 months, Roma will certainly be in the hands of somebody else, or nearing the passing into the hands of somebody else. So if you're looking for any sort of positive, you're going to have to hang on to that, because really that's all we have at this moment. And I guess Zaniolo returning, I don't expect him to play against Udinese, but he's returning from a torn ACL. That's a great thing. Great player. I don't think he's going to leave this summer. That's two positives, I guess.
Wow.
All right. Yeah. We're not going to depress you anymore. We'll be back after the match against Udinese. Who knows?
Not again. Not again.
Yeah. Well, they played. The thing is, they played relatively well against Atalanta, which is really, really worrying. So. We'll be back after that match, everybody. Thank you for listening. Again, we're sorry if we depressed you, but there's light. It may be faint, but there is light at the end of this tunnel. So we will keep you updated along the way. As always, thank you for listening to us. We appreciate it. And until next time, ciao.